What's up, everybody? This is Eric LeGrand, owner of LeGrand Coffee House, and you're now listening to the Chop Sports Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. After a long weekend, here we have met the month of June. It is Sturch, it is Gooch, and it is Production Pete back in the house. First and foremost, boys, how was the Memorial Day weekend? Everything was good? I know we started off together on Friday.
Yeah, but everything was good. I got a little hammered, more so than I would have liked all 3 days.
Don't you hate that when you're like, you don't have the intent, but it just happens?
I had zero intention on drinking any day.
Shots, so shut up.
Yeah. You're not wrong, bro. No more shots for me.
Pistol Pete, how'd you do?
Well, we had a good weekend. We're still recovering over here.
But, still recovering. All right.
Yeah, back. I sent Pete a text at like 10. He didn't respond until 1. He's like, oh, I'm just waking up. I'll listen. I send Pete rap songs now. Yeah.
Oh, well, you guys are like production buddies now, like on the rap game? That's cool. I'm feeling older now. You're older than me, and I feel like I'm the old head when it comes to the music. But anyway, we're back here in studio here at Chop Sports Studios. And it was, you know, a very piss poor weekend in the world of sports when it comes to me being a fan. It started off Friday. We'll talk about a lot of things. The Knicks pretty much on their way out. The Yankees collapse. And we definitely want to touch on a little bit of Jake Paul. And because he's back in the news, what else is new? But we'll start with the Knicks. Obviously, me and you went out to Big Shots on Friday night. We had a nice little crowd. I met Nick Schein for the first time. Didn't know who he was. I was just like, who is this big behemoth of a man that's just like looking behind me? And now I'm just like second guessing myself every time I talk so much shit. I'm like, he's a lot bigger than me. Like taller and just
a house.
He is a house. He's a fucking house. And I'm like, first of all, he said, oh, the JV starts at 7:30 and the varsity starts at 8, referring to the Knicks and the Nets on Friday night. But yeah, the Knicks, I don't know, man. I just 105-94 loss on Friday, 113-96 loss on Sunday, and now they face themselves in a must-win situation as they return to the Garden on Wednesday. We'll touch more on the preview of that game, but recapping, Gooch, what is wrong with this team right now? I mean, they were obviously riding high all year, and now you're here, and now it's this. What happened?
Just lack of a score, really, and as good of a team as they are defensively, they don't have that one wing stopper that's going to come close to stopping Trae Young, apparently, because nobody has.
Trae Young has become the new Reggie Miller. He is fueled by the animosity and the hatred that we have spewed at him, myself included. But he's a good ball player. I can't knock the guy anymore because he's making Steph Curry type 3-point shots from way
and
beyond the arc.
As good as Randle has been this year, I think that his deficiencies are a little bit highlighted in the postseason when the defenses are playing harder on every possession. And shout out to Clint Capella, man. He's doing a really good job down low.
I call him mini Zion. He reminds me of a smaller Zion Williamson as far as
the classic case of the Houston Rockets not knowing what they're doing over there because they should never have let that guy go.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely stepped up. Julius Randle, I mean, it's unfortunate because like he plays such a wonderful season, you know, and he was like that savior in New York, and then you make the trade for Rose, and nobody really knows what to expect, and then he lights it up, and like I think Rose, you know, you guys are both NBA heads. Rose has been the shining star right now of this team, and like I said on Friday, Rose, man, in the starting lineup, and he's been in the starting lineup twice, and they've lost both games.
And they got dusted both games, yeah. So maybe they weren't onto something with the starting Rose thing, but who am I? Fibs is a great coach, and he believes in Rose. I just think that's a big problem on the defensive side of the ball. He's a huge liability, but really, it doesn't really matter who you've been putting on Trae Young this series. He's kind of cooking everybody.
He's dropping him in the bucket, and you know, like I said, if he's not shooting a three, he's doing these little teardrop, you know, pull-ups and just from right in front of the foul stripe, the charity stripe. But now, I also ask and bring this question. What is with the Knicks? They don't. It's clear based off percentages that they don't have a 3-point shooter. Why are they taking so many low percentage shots? A 3-point shot is a low percentage shot in the grand scheme of things, right? It's the harder shot to make.
I mean,
why?
It's the harder shot to make, but it's the easiest shot to take because you know why?
You're open sometimes.
The Hawks are giving them threes.
They're looking.
They're playing that. They're playing right into the Hawks' defensive scheme. And if you're going to give them the open shot, they're, you know, the NBA standard now is to take it, no matter who you are, essentially.
Another thing, Jimmy Palumbo brought this up a couple weeks ago as the new age NBA. How many times have you guys seen
drive to the hole
and kick it out? You are inches away from the rim, and you kick it back out for
that
three.
That works when you have a team full of shooters.
Oh, apparently the Hawks are full of three-point shooters now. I mean, Gallinari has never played this good in his life.
They are. Bogdanovich could drain.
Who's the ginger guy? Like, he's the one he's draining threes,
is that
too.
Bogdanovich?
Kevin
no.
Herter? What are you talking Herter. About?
Herter. 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 Him, too. Yeah.
Well, he could ball, bro.
Now, apparently.
Yeah. The Hawks are a really
Knicks don't have an
team.
Answer for anybody right now.
The Hawks are a lot like the Knicks, but they have a scorer. That's the difference.
Yeah, I guess. Because Trey, yeah. I mean, look, Julius Randle, look, they're going back to the Garden. Do I expect them to win that game? I kind of do. Well, again, Wednesday we'll preview it. We'll get more into it. I kind of do expect them to get back, get the fans back up. The fans will hit the streets again saying, we want Brooklyn, you know, being down 3-2. But, like, this is, I don't know, man. It's just the Knicks are disappointing right now.
I understand your excitement about the possibility of potentially winning that game. I don't know, man. The Hawks are playing good. I just see
the Garden being one of the loudest atmospheres you've ever stepped foot in. And I think maybe, look, Trae Young has answered that critic in game one where he shushed everybody. So you know he's capable of winning in a big spot like this, in a big spotlight like this. But, you almost want to say, like, all right, the Knicks will probably get a game. And then it'll be over once they get back to Atlanta. Atlanta was rocking too. You know, like their fans were
well at this
stacked.
Point. At this point, you see it across the nation. Fans just don't know how to act.
Well,
at
we'll get places. Into that. Yeah,
and everywhere is rocking because nowhere has been able to have fans all season. So they're ready. People are ready.
You know what? You know what's crazy? You know, you just kind of segued into what I wanted to talk about eventually. Anyway, but like. The pandemic hurt everybody in so many ways. You know, we were all just like. We were hurting. We were isolated. We were away from our families. We were away from our best friends. We were away from the sports bars. We were away from everything. I don't think that gives you any justification to say, like, I'm going to act a fool.
No, by all means.
It started with the spit on Trae Young, right? The chance, you're not going to get away from that.
With Russ.
You're not going to get away from the
Kyrie,
chance.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away with the chance, get off the chance, because these guys are allowed to say whatever they want. They're at a ball game. You are, look, they're the days of bringing your son to a ball game in a playoff atmosphere in the Garden and saying we're going to have a grand old time, that's over.
Well, they were never there.
Especially the Garden.
You know,
especially
come on,
the Garden.
Let's be real.
Right.
I've been
New
going
York.
To Yankee games for my whole life, and I've never not heard crazy shit in the stadium.
Right. Curse words
guilty,
you probably never,
you
right,
know?
Me too. Curse words you probably never even heard before. Like, that's a new one. You know what I mean? Like, you hear it, like, what is that? You know? But, like, what the NBA fans have started. It started obviously with Trae Young, and then the popcorn with Russ, and now Kyrie getting a bottle tossed at him, and then you know, and then the kid jumping the court last night. First of all, by the way, got speared to death. It was Goldberg-esque.
I don't really
tackle.
Look,
Goldberg,
somebody
spear.
Somebody storming the court and doing an asshole thing like that. That's pretty typical. It's just highlighted by the fact that all the other assholes are doing what they're doing right now. That's the main issue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, this is
picked the wrong time, dude.
Again, like I don't. I never thought in my wildest dreams, like, I'm sitting there like, wow, man, the pandemic really hurt my feelings. You know, like, it's really upsetting me right now. So when I finally do get out to that bar, the first person I find, I'm just going to fucking light them up. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a thought process to me, the normal person, these people. And the booze is not good. It's going to get to a point where they might, I mean, I know that's the sales part of it, but maybe limit. Limit people to booze.
That's what they should be doing anyway. Isn't that what it is anyway?
I mean, the baseball does it. They stop serving after a certain time, and I'm sure the basketball has some kind of rule in place.
The problem is you can't stop somebody from getting hammered on the fucking train on his way to the
game. This is very true. I've gotten all my drinking done in the parking lot. You know what I mean?
By the time I get to the stadium, I have one fucking big dog,
and that's
24-ounce beer, and I have like half of it. It starts to turn to fuzz, and then I'm turned to fuzz. Then I'm done.
And then you get locked up by the fuzz because then you act a fool. But like, yeah, I just, again. The NBA fans, they really got to regulate this stuff. You really, like, that guy that got literally escorted out from the Celtics game, he'll never see the inside of that building again.
I wonder, though. I wonder how that goes. Like, when I go into a game, I've never showed ID. You know, I just go to the game, they check my ticket.
And it's not like they have the picture at, like, you know, maybe they, I don't know. I don't know
lifetime
how that goes.
Ban my
a
ass.
Lifetime ban might mean shit, yeah. You know, but hopefully that kid doesn't get back in. You know, and look. Speaking of the game that happened, that was a game and a winning effort by the Brooklyn Nets. Now they find themselves one game away. They play tomorrow night. We'll preview that tomorrow. But like they find themselves one win away from the next round, as you're supposed to.
We don't really have to talk about the Nets.
I mean, they're just, look, Pete had a hiccup on Friday.
We get it.
He's like, wait a minute. How did they lose? Like, what is that all about? Thank God. Like, it evened the blow just a little. Like, it just lowered that one shot that I took on Friday. Because, look, I'm a Yankee fan. They lose in extras. And then I'm a Knicks fan. They got blown to shit. So it was good to see the Nets lose for a second. But then I'm like, all right, cool. Flash in the pan. That's great. They're going to just ransack them in the next couple games. So that's what's probably going to happen. So we'll see. But I do ask, raise the question about your boy, Mr. King himself, LeBron James. Does he have what it takes to win this series now on his own? Because now apparently AD is a little bit more hurt than people thought. He might miss the rest of this series. They might rest him thinking that LeBron could do this himself. Can he do this himself?
If Chris Paul is as hurt as I think he is, then yes, possibly. It's going to be tough, though, because Phoenix is good, but
look, they're second seed for a reason.
Man, I believe in the Lakers. If AD is actually hurt, it's really going to be hard because that changes everything. AD tick as the Lakers as AD goes, the Lakers go pretty much.
That's a bold statement considering, you know, considering LeBron is supposed to be this all-world savior.
It doesn't matter. AD is the guy that they feed the ball to late in the fourth quarter. He's a defensive stopper. He's their best player right now.
Right.
LeBron's the best player in the world. But AD is the best player on that team, and I know that doesn't make sense to some.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean,
LeBron
look.
Defers to AD because he's the guy down the stretch, and that's what I think is special about LeBron. Some people might say, "Oh, he needs to be more like Kobe," but understanding that you have a guy like AD there, feed him the ball.
A Batman and Batman.
Yeah,
you know, it's two Dark Knights on that team. It's not a Batman and Robin deal. Like those guys are interchangeable, but when you take one away,
they have some
you
shooters.
Saw what they did with just AD, and LeBron was hurt, you know, for those couple weeks or months or whatever, however long LeBron was out. But like it got dropped them down to the seven seed and put them in this position. But now AD's hurt, you know, you're gonna see guys like Kuzma probably, you know, handle the rock a little bit more, and like these role players are there.
The Lakers could win some games without AD, but they just got to hit their shots. It's all about shooting percentage.
It really is. It really is. Did you know? I heard something last week, and it's actually a phenomenal stat. I know analytics are running wild in sports, and I'm not a big fan of them, especially in baseball, but like there are literally trackers to track the percentage of like quality shots now. And the Knicks have it like set up where they can review the tape. How many quality shots did they take? Guess what, Knicks? You took none.
Yeah, you didn't take
you took
any.
Zero quality shots the other night. And just embarrassed on Sunday. Embarrassed. Well, just didn't belong on the floor. So
that's why
I'm not going back into the Knicks.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around the Knicks winning a game because of the way they played.
Agreed.
So based
agreed.
On
but
that.
But I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, yes, they've been on these slower runs before, like, and they've been backs against the wall type mentality. But, like, now it's really, really against the wall. You know what I mean? Like, there's no turning back now. They need their MVP caliber player and Julius Randle to step up.
He's 30-15. That's what he needs to do. 30-15-5.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, off. But he can't also start 2-for-11 like he's been. You know what I mean? Like, or 3-for-20. But anyway, one more series to get to. And it was the series that you boldly said this was going 7. And I was like, no way. Dallas is handling him. Luka's the man. Blah, blah, blah. Now we got ourselves a series. It's 2-2. It's now best of 3.
And the momentum has definitely,
shifted in the favor of LA. So now I raised the question, are the Clippers going to do this? You think they're going to do this?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said this originally, even when they were down 2-0, we were at the bar. I said, I'm telling you, the Clippers are going to win this series. Everyone was looking at me like, you're crazy. Hey, we'll see. That game was a good game. But the last, the day before, it was a complete fucking shellacking.
Oh, I think the Mavericks scored what, Pete? 80 points?
81.
81 points. Like, talk about like.
Yeah, it was like a 30-something point.
Well, loss. Not even that. Just not scoring. You know what I mean? Like, how do you not score? Like, I don't know, man. It's rough. But we got ourselves some decent series now. You know, you got the Lakers series is good. The Knicks are against the wall. The Nets are about to wrap it up. The Mavs. Last night, I believe Ja Morant went down 3-1. I think that series is now. Yeah, so it looks like he's probably on his way out, but what a phenomenal start for a career. You know, he's definitely off to the right.
Yeah, you see, just to touch on the fan situation, you see there was a video yesterday of Ja Morant's father in the stands, and he's in Utah. So mind you, Utah is a bunch of Mormon boys. The guys are buying them beers. Like, we just hope they have a good game. Hope they have fun. Reminded me of being in Green Bay.
Oh, my God, dude. When I go to Dallas, it's a different beast. Like, first of all, that stadium is way too big. you know, like, so it doesn't get loud. Like, when you're in New Orleans, everybody's on top of each other, so the decibel level's through the roof, and you can't hear any yourself think. Dallas is so big that even when the crowd's rocking, it's rocking, but it's not.
Like, and it's like, Dallas is one of those tourist places, so 100%. Even the home crowd almost has a hard time
depending
who they're playing.
I'll never forget. I had tickets. I was dating a girl, and she was a complete shit show, and she told me she didn't want to go like the day before we're supposed to leave for Dallas, and I bought all the flights and the tickets, and I'm like, you piece of garbage. So then I went on my own. I was like, screw this, I got all the tickets, I'm going. So I went. So now I got two tickets. I turned that two tickets in the upper deck into one, like, field level, which is great. Scalper. I was nervous, but I was screw it, whatever. So I go to that game as against the Giants. It's the game, Jason Pierre-Paul blocks a field goal, and that's how they win. They blocked that field goal. I'm sinking to my chair, and I'm so angry, and I'm so upset, but I got Cowboy fans around me like, hey, man, we'll get them next time. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? Yeah, like, what are you talking? I'm like, that's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, they must have thought I had legitimate bipolar syndrome in that moment. Dallas fans are weird out there. I love them.
It's a different speed of, like,
it's a different speed.
People just aren't like they are around.
They're not
here
in Jersey.
On the East Coast.
Jersey is a different animal. Jersey Cowboy fans are animals, and that's why, you know, me and Brett and Keith have a successful podcast, because that niche, that Jersey Cowboy
is
one of those things. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent there with the fans. Hey guys, this is Sturch from the Chop Sports Podcast, and today I want to address something near and dear to my heart, and that's mental health awareness. More specifically, Joe Pizzamenti with Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. His consulting company can help you in so many ways, including an innovative way to lower your monthly bills. And guess what? If you lower my monthly bills, my mental health state is going through the roof. There's so much to learn about Joe and Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. Visit the website right now, www.attitudeofgratitudeconsulting.com. We segue into the New York Yankees.
Atrocious.
Bro, this is a depressing show.
It is, right? That's like, tough, it's man. June. I woke up today like, new month, new goals, new this, new that. Here we go.
I got a new headache. Yeah. I got my back hurt still.
Yeah,
still the same shit.
I'm definitely aching. Yeah, I'm just another day older. But, bro, like, what are we doing? First of all, you posted it on the Chop Sports Network social media, the Instagram in particular, how that last ball could have been called a strike. And then it wasn't, and then the next ball, he rakes into left field, and we lose that game
on
Friday.
That's the least of the Yankees' problems.
It is the least of their problems. I don't know what to make of this right now. They're not hitting.
It's time to acknowledge the Yankees have some glaring deficiencies, as much as I hate to admit it.
They took out, I was talking to Pete before this, I'm like, we took out the White Sox like they were nobody. And you thought, like, start pumping your fucking chest, you know what I mean? Like, the Yankees are the Yankees again. We're going to own New York. Here we go. And now they find themselves 5.5 games out of first.
I was just listening to... I edited Palumbo's podcast, and he was talking about the Yankees, and the whole theme of the show in the beginning was how great the Yankees were playing, and the episode gets released today.
You almost want to
the Yankees
edit it
lost
all
like
out.
Six in a row. I'm like, holy shit. This is why we have to switch to the day after he records
right.
and release, because
the keep
content
it relevant.
Is
right.
dead.
The Yankees are just, I don't know, man. It's after Cole, and even when Cole starts now, I don't want this to get into this DeGrom thing where, like, we can't score runs when Cole's in. You know what I mean? That's a worrisome thing. And by the way,
it's contagious.
I heard this stat for DeGrom. This is like, first of all, he's got numbers that are
batting 450 when the opposing team intentionally walks the batter to get to him. He's batting 450.
He's also, teams are batting under 100. Against Jacob DeGrom. He has less than a one ERA. He might be the greatest pitcher we've ever seen. Honestly, he might be the greatest pitcher we've ever seen.
I just remember seeing Pedro one year. You know, there's he's doing something phenomenal, and he's doing something all-time great, obviously. He's Hall of Fame caliber. He just got to do it over a little bit longer of a period. But you're discounting the fact of some greats, man. Like, we saw Randy Johnson almost strike out 400 guys.
We saw Randy Johnson destroy a bird. Remember that?
Yeah, of course. How could I forget? But just, there's been a lot of guys that have come along.
I know, but
it's the greatest pitcher that I've seen.
Have you ever seen anybody with low ERA like this and, like, strikeouts and just averaging 101?
I know, miles per hour? I know that there was that one season by Pedro where it was like a 1-point-something ERA over the season. So
God, I hate Pedro Martinez.
And he did it in a really hard AL East as opposed to the piss poor, abysmal NL East.
Yeah, I mean,
even look, though they do have some tough teams. It's just you know, none of them.
The Mets right now are up 3.5 of first place, and had the Danimal today in a post. I don't know if you saw that, but he posted. He's like, this team can win the division, and I called. You ever see Bronx Tale? Like the mush, like the guy who just like screws up everything. I was like, well, on that moment, the Mets knew they were screwed. And like,
clearly they could win the division. They're
of course.
In first place.
And now our homeboy Ozuna, and he just ruined his career. He's toast. You know, the
break. He beat the piss out of his wife.
Strangled her.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Like I just, this is, it's to the point where it's like, and not only nothing, in public, in front of people. And that's it. There's no like hearsay. They saw it. He's done. You know, and it's a shame because he's a good ball player. Going to jail. That's it. It's over. So I don't even know. Like the Braves, one player, yes, but the Braves are going to feel that. You know, they're going to feel that, and they're going to whatever. You know, and the Nationals are the Nationals, and they're a good ball club too. But if the Mets just tread water going forward, they're going to win the division. You know, and it's coming off the heels of us saying that they were a bad team,
and they've been banged up. So banged they're going to get some guys back,
and now the good little player Francisco Lindor is starting to hit.
I think Syndergaard's pretty much done for the year again.
I think so too. I think so. I think that there's too many setbacks for that guy. I think
I could be wrong. I heard six something. I don't know if it was 6 weeks or 6 months.
It's 6 weeks, but I just, when you do that, it's like one of those things. Like okay, and the next time
it's precautionary.
We removed
him for precautionary reasons, but he's not going to touch a baseball for 6 weeks. That doesn't seem too precautionary.
Whenever I see that in these injury reports, where it's like he'll resume baseball activity in like a month, and I'm like, okay, so then you're done. Like you can't get back to that major league level. You know what I mean? Where all of a sudden you're like, oh, baseball activity means I'm going to be firing pitches down the pike.
I'm sure any day now we're going to get news on Severino having a setback.
Oh yeah,
well.
Like, yeah,
almost guaranteed.
I mean, you talk about a desperation need right now. We need him to come back and be Severino of old. Like we need that. You know, I went to his first start ever.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. And I said, this guy's got some good stuff. But again, you can't predict this crap anymore because these guys fall off the face of the earth. Herman goes tonight.
Everybody's underperforming. There is no offense.
The only guy batting worth the shit is Judge right now, and even he like comes up.
Gio's
a baller.
The Yankees are still fourth in baseball in team ERA, so their pitching isn't really that bad. It's just that when you're losing 2-1, you know, it's not the pitching. Herman, I think it was the day that Montgomery, their last win on the doubleheader day. It was Thursday.
They have to have today. Herman's back on the hill today, and he has to beat the Rays. I know it's like,
but Herman pitched well in the last game that he started. He gave up two runs. You know, you got to expect the team to at least give you a chance. They didn't put up shit.
And you know, he's doing himself a favor by having a decent season right now, because if he was bad, we'd be on him for all sorts of reasons. Yeah. You know, not just his pitching, but it's
early. He might
implode. Correct. It's correct. But look, now that we're in June, the whole early season stuff is over. Like when you struggle in April and May, it's like, oh, it's because it's April and May. I remember Teixeira used to do that a lot. Never got hot until the weather got warmer. You know what I mean? It was like annoying. But that now there's no more excuses. The Yankees have to hit. I'm over the Clint Frazier experience. I'm done with that. A couple times he'll hit one on a rope, and you're like, kid's got bat speed. Let's do it. I'm done.
As Michael K would say, see ya.
Right. I'm done.
Wish you could say that to Michael K.
Yeah, well, I know you don't like him, but I did notice the other day when he got excited about another opposite team home run. I was like, wow, Gooch was right. Like,
you're not going to be able to unhear it.
Right.
Over time, it's just going to whittle away at you and chip, 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 you're trying to be the greatest play-by-play
in the world, but you're a home play-by-play guy. You're a team play-by-play guy.
He's too partial. You work for the fucking Yankees, bro.
He does work for the Yankees.
Act like it.
When Breen does other games on ESPN, he can bang, you know, he can be his outlandish self, but then he emphasizes it for the Knicks. You almost can't separate the two. Michael Kay only does the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a world announcer. He's not, you know, Joe Buck. He's not, you know, these other guys. And Joe Buck is one of the guys I used to get mad at. I'm like, he hates my team. He really doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, he's really good at what he does. But before we wrap this up.
I hate Joe Buck, but.
As I take a, wow, I actually looked and then it just clicked over. But hit this. Yeah, make sure you get this on film. Before we do wrap this up, yesterday, you're enjoying your Memorial Day. It's a nice, bright, sunny day. Finally get some good weather. By the way, my meme game, pretty strong. I put that rain stop from Jersey Shore.
That was good.
That was good. I found that online. I was like, wow, that was really good. But anyway, the weather breaks, and we're all having a good time yesterday. And we get the news that Jake Paul is coming back to fight. And it's not who you think. I had my aspirations that it would be somebody else. But there has been talks that it would be Woodley. And now it's Woodley. To me, the first knee-jerk reaction I have is, cool, Woodley's UFC career is over, and now he's going to get the biggest payday of his life and do the same thing his teammate Ben Askren did. Take a dive.
No
You're way. Done.
No.
You don't see it?
I think Woodley has a lot more pride than that.
And I hope so. And here's two guys that I hate. I hate Woodley because of my friendship and my loyalty to Colby Covington. I think when they were going back and forth for a couple of years and you wanted to see that fight and then, you know, finally, you know, whatever, my loyalty to call him Tyquil Woodley because he puts people to sleep because he, and now I'm talking about knocking him out. I'm talking boring about boring fights. Ass yeah. fight. But I grew my hatred for Woodley. I shouldn't say hate. That's such a terrible word, but like I dislike Tyron Woodley, whatever you want to call him. But then there's Jake Paul. And I despise this guy and everything he stands for. So, yes, as a heavy MMA fan, as I am, not as heavy as you or Tommy D or anybody like that, but as the MMA enthusiast over boxing, I hope to God Woodley puts this guy on the mat. I read a tweet today saying biggest purse he's ever had, easiest work he's ever had. He's going to rid the trash. He's going to save the face of combat sports. This and that. That is such coach talk. That is such like we played a good game. Offense, defense, special teams. You know, like that's such a Jason Garrett.
I don't think Woodley's
thing.
There to take a dive. I'll say this: Woodley's the betting underdog.
I saw that opened up as an underdog. Is that insane to you?
It's not insane to me because it really. I think that they're trying. I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't matter who's better or who's worse. It matters where the money is going to go. It's where they think people are going to bet. So it has nothing to do with like, oh, Jake Paul should win because he's the favorite. Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with that. And people kind of lose sight of that all the time.
Well, if that's the case, then the heavy money should go early on Woodley.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Right? I mean, like, oh, I can make money by putting money on Woodley. I'm going to do that. And just, here goes the friggin' mortgage.
To see where that line moves to. But
oh, it's going
to
move because the money's going to go.
Look, man, say what you want about Jake Paul, right? He's 3-0 as a pro. Granted, he hasn't fought a pro boxer.
3-0.
3-0 as a pro. He hasn't fought a pro boxer, and he still hasn't fought a pro boxer, and he's still not going to fight a pro boxer. So you could say he's a boxer, but really he's just a prize fighter, which is what I'll call him. He's a prize fighter.
Sure. I know. I've known prize fighters.
And I'm not really here to throw shade at anybody who's a prize fighter that's willing to make the walk down there, step in the ring with a former UFC champion. Now, I'm not talking about Ben Askren. Tyron Woodley has dropped Darren Till. He knocked out Robbie Lawler. He dropped Stephen Thompson. These guys are elite strikers. I respect the progression out of Jake Paul here where he's stepping up. He's moving up in competition each fight.
He's also
like
moving up in purse.
Moving up in purse. Good for him. I mean, like he's playing the game well right now. Look, it's just not for me to throw shade at him. I don't like him, but I respect his progression as a fighter, and I respect what he's doing in terms of grabbing the attention because, look, say what you want. Woodley, you could hate on Woodley. Woodley could hate on Jake Paul. Woodley's right about one thing. This is his biggest purse. So Jake Paul's doing something right, and he's getting people paid. So I used to say this about Conor all the time. Everybody hates on Conor, but everybody loves what Conor did to the sport. All these ex-fighters.
Oh, he definitely revolutionized the sport.
All these ex-fighters that maybe had gripes with the UFC, Woodley being one of them, Ben Askren being another, they get to go and make some money. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I commend it, and I'm happy to see it, and I'm here for it.
I'm here for it, too.
I'm here for all the on-field beef. I'm here for all the in-ring beef as well, Dave. Listen, beef in general. Beef give me all the fights.
How do you think Uncle Dana feels about this?
I mean,
I'm just curious.
That's probably what he said.
Just eye roll emoji. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, here we go again. But again, you're right, though. Like, they've been complaining about pay structure and ways that UFC fighters aren't taken care of. Now you're about to be taken care of. And so are your kids and grandkids and their grandkids.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be straight.
Two more things that I'll say. There's been two people that have commented, one way before the fight. It was, I guess, right after the Askren fight. Daniel Cormier got on and was talking a lot of shit about Jake Paul because Jake Paul was going at pretty much everyone in MMA, calling DC fat, blah, blah, blah. And then DC had this to say. I'm not going to read the quote because I don't have it here. But in a nutshell, he just said, why don't you go fight a guy like Tyron Woodley because that's a real killer with stand-up, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? He's doing it.
Here we are.
You know? And your boy
Colby. Mm-hmm.
Did you see his interview last night after they announced the fight? He came on and he was saying, you know, fighting Ben Askren is a fucking wash. He's never threw a punch even in an MMA fight. And he was like, I don't like Tyron Woodley, but he's a great fighter. He's a former champion. He's going to win. You know, he actually said Tyron Woodley's going to win that fight.
I'm excited. It actually kind of raised Listen, the MMA world are all going to be tuned in, waiting for this punk-ass kid to get dropped. And I think there's a... It screamed payday. Am I going to be rooting for Woodley? You're goddamn right I'm going to be rooting for Woodley. Hard, too.
I don't know who I'm going to root for because I really don't like Woodley.
I don't like Woodley either, but I can't do this Jake Paul crap anymore.
As much as you were just going to say that, like, I kind of want to keep doing the Jake Paul crap. I'm down. I want to see it.
But here's the storybook. Here's where I think we'll close it with this. I think this is where it ends, right? Not ends, but like this is where the big story happens. Ready? Floyd Mayweather beats Logan Paul, whenever the hell that fight is. I think it's like a couple weeks away. That's going to happen. Mayweather wins. The other Jake Paul is going to somehow beat Woodley.
By dive.
By whatever.
Saying, yeah.
To me, yes. There's your mega fight. You got one Paul brother down. Mayweather wants to take the other one out. You want one more big fight out of Jake Paul. Jake Paul would literally, when I say, you think this would be a big purse? Can you imagine that purse when he fights Floyd Mayweather?
Got your hat. That's his Instagram handle now, I think, and his Twitter handle is got your hat.
Speaking of Instagram, follow us on Instagram at Chop Sports Network right now. We tried to get Chop Sports bought from a lucrative company down south, but that didn't happen. What is that all about?
Really, I have 100 followers and no posts.
None.
And I was like, yo, you guys interested in selling your handle?
No.
That like, I'm going to come beat you up and take it. How about that?
How about I just take your freaking handle? Gotcha handle. But anyway, be sure to check out the Chop Sports Network this week. We're debuting a new show entitled Chart Choppers with Alan Austin. He's going to be actually in studio today recording a bunch of those. Be sure to check out Jimmy Palumbo's podcast, which just dropped. He has a very intriguing interview this week. He interviews himself. And how Jimmy Palumbo is that? He interviews Johnny Trino of Beer League fame. Make sure you check out Joe Matarese. He just dropped another episode. The Squeaky Bum Time podcast will be dropping another one soon, I believe tomorrow. And then, of course, you have Till Mets to us part. They get to be happy when they record, and we get to be miserable when we record as far as their baseball teams are concerned. And of course, Chop Heads MMA, if you want to hear all things, I'm sure you guys will touch more in depth.
Yeah, that we'll do that on Sunday, but this past week there was nothing going on, so all I did was talk shit about John Jones
pretty much for
the entire
episode. I love it. I'm here for that. Yeah. I'm here, and I like John Jones, but not recently.
John Jones deleted tweet saga. The guy is the all-time fucking king in deleted tweets.
I delete tweets.
Not as many as John.
Yeah, right? He gets high and mighty.
Bro,
he went in on Chael.
Like,
oh yeah,
talking about get my dick out of your mouth. Blah, blah, blah. Chael's like that was hurtful, John. That was his
when
response.
He called him John. I was like, I heard him say that. Like that was hurtful, John. On their Chael Sonnen, one of the greatest shit talkers ever. The Nets play tomorrow night. We'll preview that. Dame time tonight. 2-2. What are you thinking?
Dame, baby.
Okay.
Dame Dollar.
And let's see if LeBron James can carry the Lakers by himself tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So for Sturch and Gooch and Production Pete, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Aaron Rodgers goes nowhere.
It's June 1st.